To forgive means to take away. To cleanse means to purge and make pure. God does both. When you bring your sins to Him, He takes them away and makes you pure and clean. But how can you be sure that if you confess your sins to Him, He will forgive and cleanse? How does one deal with sin in his daily life? Far too common, the method is to resolve to do better, quit some of his sins, and turn over a new leaf. Well, that's good, but it's not good enough. An honest dealing with sin must not only take into account a change in future conduct, it must also deal with past failures. Consider these suggestions. First, recognize that sin may come in the form of an act, that is, a transgression of God's own known will. Or it can be an attitude, a dislike for the will and way of God. Or it can be a condition, a state of hostility toward God. You see, sin takes many forms. Second, realize that sin is very serious since it carries on a warfare against your best spiritual interest. And third, receive God's offer forgiveness for all sin, that being released from its guilt and government, you may be able to live worthily in the present and the future. It is the third suggestion that we will consider now. God offers the remedy for your sin through Jesus Christ, His Son, our Savior. You can deal successfully with sin in daily life only when you receive forgiveness and cleansing through Him. Sin brings a curse. God's law carries this solemn judgment. The sinner is under the curse of his sin. God warned of that curse, announcing, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Now someone may object, "That's not the Christian view of God, is it?" Yes, it is the Christian view. However, the prophet Ezekiel goes further to record the words of God, saying, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." The Christian's God moves in justice against sin and pronounces the judgment of death upon it. But he also moves in mercy toward the sinner, offering forgiveness and eternal life to him. Read Galatians 3:13. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He bore our sins in his own body when he went to the cross. He died in our place instead. He suffered as a guilty sinner, though he did not sin, that we might be made righteous in him." And you can deal with sin only as you accept what Jesus Christ did for you when he died on the cross and when he rose again. He bore your curse that you might go free. Ephesians 1:7 speaks of Jesus as the one in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. From curse to cleansing, from death to deliverance, from guilt to glory, Jesus has redeemed those who trust him as personal Savior. If you ask, "How can I receive the blessing he offers?" 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 replies, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." The text divides itself into two parts. First, your part in dealing with sin, and secondly, God's part in dealing with sin. Your part in dealing with sin is you must confess your sins. Now, to confess does not mean to enumerate. God already has the complete list of your sins, so to confess simply means to agree with. It means to accept God's verdict that you have sinned. It means to be willing to face your record before God and to set it straight. Now, that is your part. God's part is to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. To forgive means to take away. To cleanse means to purge and make pure. God does both. When you bring your sins to Him, He takes them away and makes you pure and clean. But how can you be sure that if you confess your sins to Him, He will forgive and cleanse? The Bible declares He is faithful and just. That means He is trustworthy, dependable. He will do the right thing. So the text promises, if you agree with God concerning your sins, admitting your involvement and personal guilt in them, you can absolutely depend upon Him to do the right thing about them, which, in view of Jesus' death and resurrection, is to forgive them and to cleanse you from their stain. What a blessed promise. God does not simply clean up the old carnal nature and try to get it to behave. He makes a person over again, makes him a new creation in Christ Jesus. Jeremiah was instructed of God to go to the potter's workshop to learn a spiritual lesson. He watched the potter at work forming a vessel on his wheel. In the process, the vessel was marred. But the potter did not throw it away. Instead, he molded it anew and made of the same material a vessel which pleased him. Now, God is like that potter. You are like that clay. You're blemished, but you are not abandoned. God will make you over, make you a new person in Christ, just as the potter made a goodly vessel from a blemished one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 reads, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." That will happen to you if you will come to God with your sins and ask for His forgiveness through Jesus Christ. But how can a man become righteous when he is guilty of sin? How can he who is accustomed to do evil suddenly begin to do good? It is as impossible as it is for the leopard to change his spots or the black man to change the color of his skin, according to Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23. Well then, what hope is there for the man who has sinned? How can he be righteous? The Bible replies that he becomes righteous in Christ. That is to say, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to him. He no longer has mere human self-righteousness, but the righteousness of God Himself. 2 Corinthians 5:21 expresses it in this way: "Him who knew no sin, God made sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." Now that's my literal translation of the passage. The Apostle Paul expressed wonder at being in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, Paul says, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now you can know Christ's righteousness in the place of your righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up our Lord Jesus from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. Yes, God will impute His divine righteousness to you in the place of your sins, when you confess your sins and ask for His forgiveness and cleansing. Consider carefully the suggestion. If you would deal with sin in your daily life, receive the release of every sin by confession to God and petition for forgiveness. That way, each sin is taken away and full fellowship with God is restored. Follow this suggestion and you will know the fullness of joy which comes to the human spirit in the unhindered presence of God.